One. Good morning. Well, you can see we're out at Sally Rock again, which means we're talking about shortcuts. Those ways that we try to get the treasure without doing the work. The ways we try to pirate our way into God's blessing and into His kingdom. You know, last week we talked about how often we will try to steal time from God. And we'll try and take all the time and make it ours and leverage it for what we want, thinking that that will help us get further ahead. But like all pirating goes, it ends up you don't get ahead. You don't end up gaining anything. In fact, we saw that most of the time we're not even aware of how much we're losing. Well, this week we're going to take on that awesome topic that all of us love to talk about how often we also try to steal money from God. Now, don't leave your computers, don't turn them off, don't leave the room. Let's just find out together what God's Word has to say about this subject. Let's listen to what it says, and then we can make a decision from there, decide what we're going to do with it. But know this, and I want you to know this for sure. I'm not trying to get your money. I'm not trying to get your money for this church. Because I know that God is going to come alongside of this church. He's come alongside me in my life. He will always be providing us with what we need, when we need it, if we decide, if we choose to align with His heart. So I'm not worried about that. But what I am trying to do is I'm trying to address this problem that often we have, where we try to get ahead by using all the money that has been given us, using money that God intended for other things, sometimes because we didn't know, but sometimes because we're just not sure that God's going to come through on His end for us, that we're going to somehow end up short. And we think that we're getting ahead. We think that we're gaining through that, but in fact, again, we're just not aware of how much we're losing. So let's find out what God says. Let's take a look together. From the beginning of the biblical story, in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, it has already established this idea, this thought that God is the one who has given us, He's given us everything we have. So that's kind of the baseline that it builds on from there. But it also starts building this into this picture that there's a part of that, of what He has given, that still belongs to Him. And He has given it to us as a way so that we actually have something to give back to Him, something to use as a way to say thank you to Him. But then He also tells us, you know what? He doesn't give it to us so that we can give it back because somehow He needs it. He says, I don't need your gifts. In fact, He says, how I want you to use those gifts is I want you to use those to help people who are in need, or to take care of those who have chosen as a vocation to serve me and to serve you in my name. And He says, those are the two reasons that I want you to be able to set this apart. So this gift called tithing, this piece that we give back to God, is not for Him, it's for others. Now there's this other type of giving that we find in the Bible as well called giving of offerings. Now this is giving of things that are over and above that portion that is God's. It's a decision, it's a choice that we make. It's a voluntary type of a gift that we give. We can share it with others, we can enjoy celebrating together, we can use those to support God's work and things like facilities and things like programs and get behind those. But in this area of giving, we need to know that God has said from the beginning, you know what, I don't need your lambs, I'm not hungry, I don't need your wheat to make bread, I don't need your money to buy things. This is about me, but know that this is not about my needs. Second thing that we need to understand, we need to know the promises that God surrounds this area of tithing with. So in Scripture, the words that were read earlier in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, it says, it's talking about tithing when it says, honor the Lord from the first of your wealth. Well, how are we to honor Him? Well, we're to honor Him from that wealth of giving Him back His portion. That's what it's talking about. Honor the Lord from the first of your wealth and from the first of all of your produce, and then your barns will be filled with plenty. And listen to this, and your vats will, and this is the word I want to key in on when it comes to the promises, your vats will overflow with new wine. Listen to this one from Malachi 3, 10 through 12. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Food for who? Not for God. Food for the needy, food for the hungry, food for those who are serving God in that place. And he says, and test me in this. He says, see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing, and here it is again, until it overflows. And I will even rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruit of the ground, or the vine that's in your field won't cast off its grapes. He says, all the nations will call you blessed, and you shall be a delightful land. He says, everybody's going to look as a result of us just giving back, you know, the promise of God. He says, if you will simply give me back my part, then I will bless you. I will get behind you in all that you do. And again, give him his part for what? To take care of others, to take care of those who are coming up short. He says, but it's not just I'm going to take care of you and fill all your needs. He says, I'll even go beyond that. You will see this blessing overflow. That's tithing. That's the message of tithing in Scripture. Now, I realize this topic about giving money, I realize it's a touchy subject. I realize that some of you that maybe you're either newer in your walk with Jesus, or maybe you just haven't dug into Scripture to find out more about this topic. But some of you I know are out there, you're going, you know, this sounds a little like hocus pocus. It sounds a little bit like, you know, bait and switch, or, you know, just guess which shell this is under. It sounds a little bit like a televangelist, you asking me for money. And our thought is usually, you know, either way, just quit sticking your nose in where it doesn't belong. I get that. But I also understand that we've known this for a while. We know where other people's commitments are. We know where our commitments are by looking at two places. One is our calendar. We know where our commitments are by how we use our time. We also know where our commitments are by looking at our credit card statement, or if you're old school, looking at your checkbook. Because where we spend our time, where we spend our money, that's where our heart is. Jesus said it this way. He says, you know what? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. I have to challenge us with the way that we use our time and we use our money, because these are two of the greatest treasures that we hold to, aren't they? They're two of the greatest treasures that we guard. And because of that, these are two of the areas that we get really offended when anybody starts poking around at them, even God. And also, these are two of the areas that we try to find shortcuts in. We try to take back pieces that may not be used, meant to be used in the ways that we're using them, in order to try and shortcut our way ahead into the blessing that God wants it for us. Make no mistake, God wants to bless you in your life. He wants you to know eternal life later on, and he wants you to know an abundance of life now. He wants you to know that through your relationship with Jesus, but he also wants us to know it through living out the life, this life, the way that he intended for us to live it. And that means using things like time and money in the ways that he intended. So God wants to bless us, and he says, you know, he will bless us. He will get fully behind us if we will use these things. If we live our lives in this way that he's called us to, he will get behind us, and he'll bless us beyond what we can ask for, beyond what, in Ephesians 3:20 it says, beyond even what we can imagine, what we can even think to ask. If we will just take these steps with him, that we'll see things the way he sees them, and approach life and live life the way that he has laid out for us, the way that he designed us to live. Now, personally, I can tell you from my own story. I can tell you, I grew up in a home where my mom and dad, they made sure that we knew. They made sure that we knew that they were setting aside that tenth, that portion that was God's, that they were tithing, that they were from anything that came into our household, they were taking that first tenth right off the top. I mean, they said, no, this is as soon as it comes in, this is pre-tax, this is before anything comes off, we set this tenth aside and we give it to God. Now, they also led us into Scripture, and they showed us the promises and the reasons and the things that God had said. and they encouraged us to do the same. Now, I got to tell you, that was hard. That was hard at every stage. You know, I was joking about it last week, but I remember when I was a kid, it was hard to, I got, you know, 50 cents for my allowance. And I remember it was hard to give a nickel because I knew that was a nickel. Giving that nickel to God meant what I couldn't spend that, like I was talking about last week, on my biggest dream, which was what? Candy, right? 5 cents on that. But then later, I can tell you, later that meant that I couldn't spend even more money on a movie. And that's a big deal. That is a big deal for someone who's in their teens and wants to just hang out with their friends. Later on, that meant I was giving money that I'm looking at it going, you know, this is a date. This is a date. And that's a big deal for a guy who's in high school. Every stage, it was a challenge. And I'll admit to you, I cheated. I cheated quite a bit. I didn't follow through all the time with that. In fact, it wasn't until I came face to face with the reality of God's love for me, how much He had done for me, and not because I had done anything for Him. In fact, before I had even existed to do anything for Him, how much He had sacrificed on my behalf, how much He had given to show His love and His promises, and how locked in I was into those love and that love and into those promises. And He said, even if I chose to use all my time and all my money for myself, His love still rested on me until I saw that the nature of God's love for me, the nature of His promises for me. That's when tithing went from being this chore, this task, this rule, this just pain to try and, you know, to live out. It went from that to just being a part of this, a normal part of the conversation that my life had become with this amazing friend that I had found. This amazing Savior who had found me. Tithing's hard if you are trying to do it by your own strength. If you're trying to do it as a way to please God or gain His favor, gain His attention, earn your way into his good graces. Tithing's easy when it simply flows out of this relationship that you have with this God, this trust, this love, this assurance that he is behind you. He is supporting you. He's giving you everything. So then what is a tithe? What exactly is a tithe? A tithe is literally that tenth portion, that tenth of everything that comes in, that right off the top, right out of, it's talked about as being the best part, the first part of everything we earn, everything we gain, everything that we work for, and we take that and we give it to God. We give it to God as a sacrifice, as an offering of trust, as an offering of thanks, as an offering of just saying, I want to be aligned. I want to be on the same page with you. You know, again, what is it used for? It's used to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to take care of those who don't have anyone to take care of them. You know, in ancient Israel, it was used to take care of those who didn't have any land, because land was where crops were grown. Land was where cattle and sheep were raised, whether it was to eat or whether it was to sell, so that you could have money to buy other things that you needed. But those who didn't have land basically didn't have income. And so God said, you have to take care of those. Orphans and widows were those who didn't have land. So God said, you got to take care of them. You have to take care of them. They're on my heart. They're my people, but they're in your care. Those who had agreed to serve God and had been called to serve God and to serve the people on God's behalf, they were those who also didn't have land, the Levites. And so God said, you got to take care of them, because they have no other source other than the care, the thing that I have provided you with. That's what's meant to take care of them. So what is God teaching us then? Given all that, what are the things that God is teaching us? What are the things we're learning as we tithe? Well, first, God is teaching us that He has our back. He's teaching us again that idea that that, you know, if I'm aligned with God's heart, I can do more with this 90% than I could do if I kept that other 10%, that part that's God's part. I think that if I take it and I use it for myself, that I'll gain. But he says, you know, you'll actually do better if you'll give that part that belongs to me, and trust me that I'll make this 90% go further, and trust me that I'm going to come in behind you and bless you in these areas, and not just in areas that are, you know, financial. I'm going to bless your life when you align it with me. So we'll do better when we give God his 10% rather than when we shortcut and try and keep that 10% that belongs to him. So he's teaching us we can trust him. He's teaching us how to care for other people, how to intentionally care for other people. Because again, he says, I don't need this. I'm having you set this aside. And I want you to hear this. He's saying, I want you to set this aside so that others will be cared for. So at the same time, this is a gift of thanks to me, but it's also a gift that's going to be used for the care of others, because throughout Scripture, true thanksgiving and care for other people are the same thing. They go together. We are not thankful to God for what he has given us unless we are truly showing that same generous heart that he has shown us by sharing that what he has given to us with others. So he's teaching us how to intentionally be thankful, how to intentionally care for others, so how to intentionally show his heart. Third thing, he's teaching us how to care for others intentionally, but to do it together. So we bring our tithes and our offerings together. We bring those together because we know that we can actually be more effective in caring for more people when we bring our resources together. When we bring these things together, we can do this better than if we try to do it independently. God's trying to teach us how to show compassion, and kind of use compassion as a team sport rather than as an individual kind of competition. I'm not supposed to outdo you in showing compassion. I am supposed to join with you so that we show this amazing level of compassion together. God's always about the body. He's always about the community and the unity of people working together with him. But the fourth thing is this. He is teaching us how to step into this area of generosity so that we can learn the freedom that comes from having a generous heart. The freedom that comes from, that sets us free from that slavery to greed, the slavery from that constant pursuit of more and more, and it's not enough, and I don't have enough, to feel that freedom from that self-indulgence that often we gather more so that we can have more and more experiences just for ourselves, and they don't satisfy. That freedom from that never-ending pursuit of something that just does not satisfy us. And why doesn't it? It's because God is who satisfies us. That relationship with him is what we're pursuing. We have to let go of these things. And he's teaching us. He's saying, okay, take this step into it. Just 10%. Now, I know the thought of giving 10% off the top. I know that's a huge, to some of us, that sounds like this huge, insurmountable kind of a step, a leap, jump to take, a challenge that I just can't do that. But I want you to know that actually, for those of you who take that challenge or who have taken that challenge, what you've probably found is that it really just becomes the first step in this journey towards experiencing the freedom of generosity. You know, in the Bible, the story of tithing begins with this man, Abraham, and he gives that tenth part to God. He gives God the portion that belongs to him. Well, then Abraham's descendants, generations down, God comes to, and he says, you know what, I want you guys to, I want to stretch you a little bit. So I want you to put aside two tithes. He asked of Israel two tithes and then offerings on top of that. So that's like 20%+. Well, by the time he gets to the New Testament, he says, you know what, I'm not going to talk to you guys about percentages at all. I just want to talk to you about generosity. Do you see the arc of that? He says, okay, let's start with 10%. Okay, let's go to 20%+. Okay, let's not even talk about percentages. Let's just talk about everything. Let's talk about your heart. Let's talk about reflecting the heart of God who gives everything. who gave everything for us. Let's talk about reflecting that heart. That's tithing. So what do we do? Where do we go from here? Well, you guys, for some of us, I think, you know, that idea, it does. It just looks like this horribly huge jump to try and take to go to tithing. Don't start there. Start with something, though. Start with determining, okay, so what is it that I do have faith to give to God? To take off the top, and take it off the top. Take it first thing. Don't wait till you've paid all the bills and you've made all the, just say, I'm gonna put this aside. I'm gonna put this aside from God, for God, from the very beginning, just before I look at everything else. I'm gonna put this aside, I'm gonna give it to God and to His work as a thanks, and also so that I can be invested in what God is doing. I can be a partner with Him in changing other people's lives. And put it aside. Intentionally, regularly, off the top, first thing, put it aside and see if God doesn't get behind you. See if God, even with this thing, this, because again, it's not about the percentage, it's about the journey into really discovering the freedom and the heart of God. So see if God doesn't get behind you, and not just in finances. See if God doesn't start showing up in your life and saying, you know, this is good. And then start pushing it. See if you can't expand that gift. Well, second, there are some of us who, you know, we need to take this tithing challenge. Sure, we've been given here and there, but we do need to take that leap. We need to go into kind of giving that God His full portion. See where that is. That's kind of that step, and give that 10% right off the top. Give that regularly. Give that first thing. Make that a rhythm in your life. Make that part of that conversation that just becomes a part of that conversation of faith that your life is with God. And again, see how God will begin to open up doors for you where you see how you are actually partnering with God in the lives of others. See how God will start showing you how you're partnering with Him and you're starting to come together with others, even here at Christ Church, to turn this world upside down through using your resources for this radical kind of compassion, saying, I believe God has called me to join Him in this compassion. Or third, you know, some of you guys are beyond even that. Some of you guys have been tithing for a long time. And God's saying, you know what? I want you to keep pushing in. I want you to keep pushing in to generosity. So expand your giving. Don't just stop at a 10%. Don't get legalistic on God. This isn't about percentages. This is about trust. This is about partnering with God. This is about going wherever He leads us. So start, expand that giving. See how far you can push God. See if you can actually ever outgive God, where He won't come through with His promises, like in Ephesians 3:20, where He says, you know what? You walk in these things and I'm going to bless you in ways that you can't even imagine. Final reminder. I just want to remind you of what I said before. Again, this is not about me trying to get money for me or for this church. So if you have questions, if you're a little hesitant about that, don't give to us. Don't give to this church, but give to God. Don't start out by giving to your favorite charity either. This isn't about learning how to give to just anything. This is starts out by learning how to partner with God in what He's doing. So give to God. Give to a church somewhere. And see if, test God in these things. See if God doesn't come through. So in the beginning, definitely give to God. See if He doesn't, and then if He doesn't keep up His end on His promise, if you don't see Him coming behind you, then yeah, stop. Put a time limit on it. Say for the next 6 months. And you know, if you want to test Him at Christ Church, that's fine. But use it as that. But 6 months, 9 months, a year. Say, I'm gonna try this thing, this tithing challenge. You're going to see. And if He doesn't come through, yeah, take it back. Go back to life as you knew it. But I want to tell you, I don't expect that to happen. I have yet to see someone step out in faith in this way, in trusting God, that if you said this is what needs to happen, I'm going to do this thing. I have yet to see someone take a challenge like that, step out and not see God completely blow them away with the way that He begins to show up in their life as a result. In direct response to their faith. So tithing, what is tithing? Tithing is a way that we get to say, we get to just say in our lives, you know what? I am not going to take a shortcut. I'm not going to take a shortcut and try and pirate my way into the kingdom and the promises of God in this area of money. Instead, I'm going to push in to find that full, how to reflect that full generous heart of my God, of my friend, of my Savior, of my provider, my Father who loves me. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for that incredible generosity that you show us in Christ first. That before we did anything, you had already given everything we needed to know you, to be brought into your family, to be brought into that full provision from your hand, that full protection as one of your own. So, Father, thank you for the gift of Christ Jesus. Father, too, thank you for the daily way that you give us the things that we need. And not just the things that we need, but you give us all that we need and then some. 10% more, so that we might have it to join with you and to learn your heart and how we share with others, how we live a thankful life. Father, lead us into that place where we live that life, where we reflect that heart. Father, help us reflect the generosity of your own heart. We pray that as a result of that, that this world would be turned upside down by the generosity and the compassion that is shown through your people, especially your people here, Father, here at Christ Church. Let us be that light in that darkness of a world that really is filled with greed, that's filled with self-centeredness, that's filled with that anxiety of not having enough. Let us be that light that shows that generosity, the generosity of your hand and of your heart. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. We pray these things for your glory, Father. We pray these things that are only possible through the power of your Spirit. Amen. So this morning, again, speaking of the generosity of God, we get to celebrate this meal, this special occasion for us as God's people called communion. This is where we celebrate that heart that God has shown us, that heart that he showed us in the gift he gave us in Jesus Christ. It says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body. It's been broken for you. So take this and eat this to remember me." In the same way, it says that he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant, a new agreement with us and God that was in his blood, that was poured out for us." So he said, "Take this and drink this to remember me." Because as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim that sacrifice that he made on your behalf until he comes again. You know, this meal, it doesn't look like much of a meal. It's just a couple of pretty common elements. It's just juice and bread. And yet God has said that spiritually, this is a illustration of the length that he will go because of that heart of love and generosity that he has for us. So he says, all are welcome to this table. All are welcome. All of us have an invitation from him to join in this meal and to experience his generosity, his care, his love for us. Go. Father, thank you for this bread and this cup. Thank you for this gift that shows us that illustration of the generosity of your heart. Father, take this bread and take this cup and bless them and make them more than what they are. This is such a simple meal, and yet you have said this is an illustration of that generosity of your heart. These simple items become sacrament, become set apart as vehicles of seeing the very grace in the very heart of God. So Father, take these and make them yours. Take this time and make it yours. so that we would meet you here, that we would meet Jesus here in this place as we share this meal together and remember again the generosity and the life that we are called to as your people. We pray these things in your name. Amen. This is the body of Christ. Take it and eat. It's the blood of Christ. Take it and drink. Thank you, God, for your good gifts.